Love and wisdom are the foundation of our security. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 13:34. We have become aware of the invincible, invisible power of man's conscious, concentrated thought waves, how they can be hurled with terrific force into the ether to magnetize it, and how this creative power can deeply affect people and things. Now we come to the effect of man's unconscious thought, how it affects himself and others. When we are always consciously aware of our reactions and our thoughts to things, to people and conditions, we know then what we are thinking about. We are not unconsciously reacting to conditions, emotional or otherwise. When we do, we create what is known as an unconscious expression of the aura, a magnetic flow that flows from the individual outwardly. Every individual is a combination of their thoughts, feelings, emotions, and so forth, and their reactions to conditions, and also their awareness to that which is in itself complete. According then to the mixture of all these things, so is the aura of the individual. The aura of an individual stretches in some cases for miles from the individual. Other individuals only a few feet or a few yards. When you come in contact with an aura that is extended to a great distance outward, you actually feel the influence of that individual before you even see them or feel them. A city has an aura because it's the combination of all the people's thoughts. A house has also an aura because it's the combination of the people's thoughts that live there. Everything, no matter what it is, gives expression to the influence that is bearing upon it. It's glass, for instance. Matter is not what you think it is. Matter is a combination of atoms, and the easiest material to influence by the aura is water. Water can be magnetized so easily that immediately you drink it, it has an effect upon you. If a person holds an article for some considerable time in their hands and concentrates upon it, they can absolutely imbue that article with their influence. And when another person touches it unconsciously, that influence affects the individual because it's an absorption of what we call particles, electrical or magnetic vibrations that come from every article in existence. You are influenced by every individual you come in contact, one way or another. But if you're aware of how you are influenced and what your thoughts and reactions are, then you will know, you will understand. When there is love, then there is a feeling of harmony and peace. There is an attraction that gives you a sort of feeling of ease and comfort. When there is inharmony, there is a feeling of repulsion. You don't want to know this person. Therefore, equality in personality is a most important thing in individuals when they understand. And it's perhaps one of the most important things in life is equality in personality. Now the same laws apply. According to the state of consciousness, so is the effect of man's thoughts. The ignorant think unconsciously, while the wise think consciously. Again, I must remind you that unconscious and conscious reaction to people, things and conditions and the tone of your thinking make up your magnetic aura, which has great influence on those with whom you come in contact. This we will call the unconscious radiation of our thought influence. I told you in previous lectures that your thoughts are electromagnetic. They have the effect of sweeping through the whole of your organism, your body, through your nervous system, and then outward into your atmosphere and beyond. Your thoughts, in fact, color the ether that surrounds your body. If your thoughts are strong enough, they go into the atmosphere and magnetize the ether, just as you can hear a radio station any part of the world at the same time, because the ether is magnetized with these electromagnetic waves, and the whole of the ether being magnetized at the same time, you can hear in any part of the world the same voice at the same time. But as you know that sound travels at 700 miles an hour, and these other vibrations travel at 186,000 miles per second, therefore, the sound of the voice is carried in through an instrument, and then it is boosted up in vibrations. These vibrations then become at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. Therefore, the sound is carried on the back of this electromagnetic wave in what we call the ultrasonic sound area, in which there is no sound at all, because the vibration of that sound is raised so high in the ether that you cannot hear it by your ear. Then through your instrument, this ultrasonic sound, which is traveling at 186,000 miles per second, is modified through your radio, and you hear the voice at the same time almost that is given off. All these things are done almost instantaneously. But so much is performed in this particular small portion of time, it is incredible to think that at the same moment all these things are taking place. There is a complex combination of thought currents which produce the unconscious transmission of the magnetic influence. While one person will attract and create harmony, another will create the reverse. While one will unconsciously express healing and comfort, the other may unconsciously do the opposite. The question is, how is one to protect oneself against the negative influence of a negative mind? The answer is, become aware of our reaction to people and things. This simple statement carries with it great significance. There is nothing more important than your awareness of your own thoughts, your own feelings, your emotions, and so forth, and your reactions to conditions and things. Immediately you become aware of that, you're safe. But if you're caught up in your emotion, you're caught up in your thinking, you're caught up in your thought, then unconscious thinking creates this condition, which is very often negative: fear, apprehension, jealousy, egotism, anger, hate. All these things are brought into play because of your unconscious reaction to conditions, people, and things, jealousy, and so forth. It is an unconscious reaction. If this unconscious reaction is continued over a long period of time, you can see how it affects the body. These electromagnetic waves, being negative in character, have the effect of traveling through the ether, which interpenetrates every wall of every atom in the body. And as these electromagnetic waves pass through the body, they cause a change, a transformation in the body, and therefore you find yourself with all sorts of conditions. But there is one great emotion of love that sweeps through the whole body, and by doing so, changes every atom, transforms every atom into a live, living, vibrating, perfect thing. And the combination of billions and billions of these atoms, vibrating at this harmony, produces peace. It is a wonderful thing if you can realize what love really means, even in the passional sense. In the passional sense, of course, it carries with it a lot of troubles. That is to say, we get attached to people, and there is a slight tinge of jealousy and so forth, and these things cause little bit of miseries, of vortices of energy which vibrate to the wrong direction. But nevertheless, even if the passional person feels that flow of love that passes through them, and as they feel that flow of love, you know that it changes every atom in your body. And before you really know complete love, we have to know it through the personal sense first. Then we gradually grow into something greater and finer. The atmosphere of a city is impregnated with the quality of the thoughts of the people who live in it. The unwary are caught up in it. Therefore, knowledge of the law of electromagnetic thought waves is very essential wherever you live. If you live in a particular part of the country that is influenced by a certain individual or certain feelings, you will find yourself caught up in them. But by a power of your own thought, you can change all that vibration. Even one individual who understands the power of electromagnetic waves can, in a meeting, change the whole atmosphere of that meeting without saying a single word. Those electromagnetic waves are so powerful that permeate the minds of every individual, but that individual must understand the power that is necessary to produce those electromagnetic waves that permeate the minds of every individual in that meeting. Therefore, a whole meeting can change from one of an unruly one to a one of peace and harmony because of the fact that those electromagnetic waves are the most powerful things in operation. And no matter how the individual thinks and feels, he is powerless against these electromagnetic waves that are projected by a most powerful consciousness that understands the process and how it takes place. A hospital can become one of the danger spots if one is not careful. A sick person can become affected by thought waves permeating the hospital to such a degree that recovery is impossible. Therefore, purity of thought is essential. A world can be brightened up by one mind who knows, while another can depress it through constant thoughts of sickness. I've known people being put into a ward where there has been one or two people very, very sick and have passed out of the body, and that person has remained in the ward for a considerable time and has been affected by the influences of her own thought and feelings. I can remember long ago, early in 1915, when we went up to the Hohenzollern Redoubt. I was in the Cameron Highlanders at that time. And we were going in to relieve another regiment for 7 days before, so we went in to relieve them about 5 o'clock in the morning. And we got up there during the night, and in the early morning the light was coming over into the dawn. And I was standing with my foot on something just like this, resting, just as though nothing was happening. Of course, you can hear the bullets and everything flying all round about you, but of course you get accustomed to these things. And therefore, when the light came a little bit more, I looked down, and what I had my foot on was the soldiers who had been brought out through the trenches, who had been killed that night or the day before, and they were on the bogies, lying to go down to the burial ground. And I had my foot on this thing, and I didn't know it was there. But when I saw it was this sort of thing, it gave me a bit of a shock to begin with. And the first thing that entered into my mind, I said, I wonder will I be one of these fellows tonight? That was the first reaction I had. Now, the influence of that was slightly difficult to overcome for a an hour or so, and I kept thinking of it for the simple reason that it got hold of me. But immediately I began to discern what I was thinking and the emotion behind it, it disappeared. And I felt within myself, well, it's not crazy yet, it's going to kill me. So I went away whistling on my way. But it gives you how a thought, an influence, can depress one. And that, in early 1915, was the first time we went into the trenches. And it was a bit of a shock, because that was the first thing that met you there, the first time you entered the trench. After a few days in the trenches, you don't give a hang. You get so callous and nothing bothers you. Your reaction to conditions in life has got to be discerned. And by doing so, you are not affected by that unconscious reaction that you have all the time, which brings fear into your heart. And also produces in your body, according to your thoughts and emotions. But the intellect of man will yet be forced into avenues towards the cause of things, and will no longer be caught up in the effects of things. Just as electricity and magnetism have been harnessed for the benefit of mankind, so will the scientific law of mind and the creative power of thought and the sound and sound be harnessed. They have an eternal existence because they are the basic principles upon which this universe is built, and are still the basic principles on which life exists. The word that was in the beginning carries the essentials of creation. And the word means this. The idea must exist before the word can be spoken. The consciousness becomes aware of the idea and gives reflection to the idea in form and sound. Therefore, a creation is created. My words to you come forth in sound. They enter into your mind, and by doing so, you also pick up those vibrations through your ear. They're carried through to your brain, to the various receiving centers in your brain, vibrations. There they are interpreted. Then the mind takes hold of all these various vibrations and forms them into an image, and the consciousness becomes aware of it at once. A tremendous amount of work is done from the time my voice you hear to the time you accept it and understand what I am saying. There is a multiple number of mental activities taking place in your brain, before you can actually know what I am saying. The ear only receives vibrations. It does not discern nor interpret what you hear. It only carries vibrations to the various centers in your brain. From there it is interpreted. Just for instance, when you're looking at something with your eye, what you see of that image is a reflection of that image in miniature. Because if you look into your iris when you are looking at anything, you'll find there an inverted image of that thing, very small. And these rays are then carried through the optic nerve in the form of electromagnetic waves, through the optic thalamus into the optic center at the back of the head. There it's interpreted and it's passed through other various centers in your brain, giving it color and dimension and so forth. Then the consciousness becomes aware of the image that is presented in the mind and gives it a relative reality. A relative reality then, it is a relative reality, not a reality in itself, but it gives it what we call a relative reality. Therefore your eyes do not see, your ears do not hear, nor will your fingers feel. Nor does your nose smell. These things are only reporters that carry vibrations to these various centers in your brain, through which these vibrations are interpreted. And through the mechanism of your memory cells, A picture is created of what you see and feel and hear, and is produced to the consciousness, and the consciousness becomes aware of it. That's exactly what takes place in everything through your ears, through your eyes, and through your nose, and through your fingers. Therefore, everything is a mental phenomenon. As science progresses and each new discovery of atomic energy is followed up, including all that is found in the relative world, the cause will be found within man himself. This is a profound statement, but nevertheless true, for science is pointing this way. Science will prove that the inner and the outer are one, and there is no effect without cause. The study of the cosmic ray will unfold the great law of creative power of thought. When science comes to acknowledge the existence of an invisible universe, it will extend its investigation into the world of cause and the study of the powerful properties of mental energies and thought power. Again, I have to remind you that the Master Jesus was the greatest scientist the world has ever known, yet his discoveries have never been followed up in a scientific way, although his sayings have been made the basis of the greatest religion of our modern age. And why was Jesus the greatest scientist of the modern age? Because he had every instrument that science could ever create for the purpose of looking into the most minutest particle of matter, for looking to the greatest distance on the earth, by understanding the process of the atomic structure of his own body and beyond, by knowing the constituents of electricity and magnetism, understanding the essence that is behind every form, understanding also the consciousness that is created, and having a balanced view of both the relative and that which is not relative, but real. Having that balanced state of understanding the difference between the two, and joining them together in one complete whole, recognizing himself as the creative principle behind all things. By this great, mighty understanding, he was able to penetrate deep into the structure of matter, to understand the confines of the very atoms, to be able to use his own telescope, which is within himself, and see the greatest distance of where he wanted to see. That's why he saw Philip under the tree. And he could also use all his instruments, and he had within himself a mental library of all the things that could ever be published and would ever be published in the world, because that was open to him. All things then are open to the Master, who can penetrate the confines of matter, of ether, of distance of space, both the infinitely small and the infinitely great. That is the power of the Master that is behind all creative forces. Understanding them and recognizing them as part of himself. I and the Father are one. Yet no religion or philosophy can ever endure unless its claims are based upon a firm scientific basis of truth in the most practical way. The results will no doubt be painful to many adherents and will shatter their coveted delusions. Nevertheless, unless this is accomplished, such a religion or philosophy is doomed. Time is coming fast for this to be done. Truth, science, and religion must walk hand in hand. Otherwise, religion will pass into oblivion, at least the religion that we know of today. Therefore, all philosophy, all religion, must follow the true path of concentrating on the study of mankind and not merely be caught up in ethics. For ethics will never reveal that which is fundamental in man, but only create duality of mind. And reality can never be found in duality. Only through the will of cause can effects be understood, and only that which is within man himself can guide him to the world of cause. Then he will find that the electromagnetic wave is the secondary cause behind all creation, which uses the boundless ocean of ether as a basis of all phenomena, which responds to the powerful generator of thought. We will then have a glimpse of the reason why, although the real why will always be locked up in the unknowable, who is the first cause of all things, yet is all things. So we see that these electromagnetic waves are secondary causes, which are projected by consciousness that is aware. If the consciousness is aware, then its power of projection of electromagnetic waves become accurate and devastating, both in creation or disintegration. It is a powerful generator or of thought, and according to your awareness, not only of that which is relative to you, but awareness of that which is real within yourselves, then in that state, there is a consciousness that has the power of a generating station, just as you recognize a generating station that is terrifically powerful, that magnetizes the ether all over the world, while a generating station that is very weak, it can only magnetize the ether a short distance. The only ethics man will then know to be true is love and wisdom. Then man will be true to himself. Consequently, he cannot be false to any man, for knowledge will show him the true path to freedom. When thought, the greatest of all forces, is revealed, the only effective means for security will be love and wisdom. Otherwise, the misuse of this great power would destroy man himself. That is why that it is essential that those who are ignorant of this truth, who have not built up an understanding within themselves, if we use this tremendous force without that security of love and wisdom, they could destroy themselves. So powerful is the consciousness of man when it becomes aware. A black magician is just the same as a white magician. A black magician is one who concentrates in his mind thoughts of ill will and destruction upon another. But little does he know that eventually all these return upon himself and destroy him. While the white magician is one who uses love and wisdom and healing, and by doing so, these vibrations rebound back upon himself, and he becomes rejuvenated and strong and youthful, even in old age. He becomes then a center through which those vibrations of love and wisdom, which are useful in nature and have a rejuvenating power upon the individual, constantly expressing these thoughts, brings health and strength back to them. Therefore, if one is engaged in destructive thinking unconsciously, where you feel that you want to have revenge upon some person, you always find that coming back upon yourself. Jesus said clearly and distinctly, as a means of security for yourselves, Lest them that curse you do good unto those who injure you. Therefore, for your own security, you have to express those things, love and wisdom. The scientists of the day are perturbed unless a proper control of atomic energy is devised. Man might destroy himself. So were the ancient scientists who were well acquainted with the science of thought, which is behind the atom. Careful lest the uninitiated would gain a secret to this vast power. Therefore, love and wisdom will be the fundamental ethics upon which humanity has any hope of survival, and not merely words without meaning. But words without meaning are useless. You will sit and you will listen, perhaps, to words read in a different language which you do not understand. There is nothing to appeal to your consciousness at all, except the rhythm, perhaps. But beyond that, it has no effect upon you whatsoever, because you cannot think. And unless you think for yourself, you're caught up in conformity, in tradition, in vicious circles, and naturally you are swept along with these particular things that injure and destroy the people. If you then can stand in the midst of a crowd and listen, not be affected by any martial music, not be affected by any political talk, not be affected by any national anthem or patriotic thing, if you can stand there without being moved by any of those things, then that is being aware. If you can stand in the midst of all these things and without have any movement whatsoever, but keeping your perfect balance through being aware of what is taking place around you, then you are aware, you are not affected, although you are swept aside or swept in the whirlpool of the thought that mingles with the crowd. The crowd will create a thought that becomes the electromagnetic wave of that crowd. And everybody is swept along with it. They can no longer think. Only the person who is aware and can withstand all these influences. That's what you must learn to do. Under all circumstances, you must learn to do to become aware. Not be affected by anything external to yourself. Only those who have seen behind the scenes can lead men to freedom and ultimate good. All you who are now students of this university course on universal science, studying these lessons, assume a tremendous responsibility. When you acquire a clear, logical, and scientific understanding of the power of God, it reveals to you the great secrets of creation. Jesus, knowing this science, never condemned anyone, but forgave even those who crucified him. He is aware of the power of his thought, which is demonstrated on the fig tree that did not bear fruit. By his word he withdrew the life from the tree. To use this law indiscriminately would do untold harm. This knowledge transmitted to you thrusts upon you a great responsibility, and you cannot afford to disregard these words of mine. No individual can ever escape from the consequences of his own creation. As you have already seen in our previous lessons, as you measure out to others, so will it be measured out to you again. That is security, and there is no other security. The greatest master of all times gave this security to mankind, yet mankind passed it by. And what do we see today? The Christian religion we see today is not the teachings of Christ, and not until the Christian religion has died can the teachings of Christ be made manifest. Only then will the teachings of Christ be revealed, and it is the security of mankind. But is the Christian religion today a security for mankind? When the Christian religion themselves are battling against one another, within that Christian religion there are battles going on between one dogma and another. Anytime you can go to Glasgow, and during the particular periods of time when these particular organizations have their day out, such as St. Patrick's Day and so forth, and Protestant Day, you'll see one band coming down one side of the street, the Protestant band, the other side an Orangeman's band, and immediately they get near enough to each other, they take their instruments and bash each other's heads. And it takes the police to separate them, and here is a Christian religion which is supposed to be the teachings of Christ. Well, you see, the whole thing is preposterous and ridiculous, for the simple reason that they have got no truth at all. They have a dogma, of course, but a dogma is not truth. An idea of truth is not truth. The word truth is not truth. Christian religion is not truth. Mohammedan religion is not truth. Hinduism is not truth. All these things are beliefs, ideas, and images in the mind, and have no existence in truth at all. That's why people fight about them. But they never fight about the truth, they can, because they don't know what it is. Therefore, they can't fight about something they don't know what it is. And only those who know that it is don't argue with ignorance. That's a fool's paradox. This knowledge transmitted to you, then, thrusts upon you a great responsibility. It is extremely difficult to break the habit of past thinking formed by years of ignorant, unconscious reaction. Yes, truly, we are born in the ignorance of past generations. But if you will discern your thoughts and your reactions to things and people, as I have taught you in the past, it will not be difficult for you to check these thoughts which cause havoc in yourselves and around you. Jesus gave us the key to our safety. Love your neighbor as yourself. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. John 15:9. Also read again the Sermon on the Mount, and there you will find the security of man, and the only security man has. Man ignorantly weaves the path of his life here by mixed thoughts. Yet man knowingly can check accidents and calamities by the mighty power of his conscious, concentrated thought. His thought will stand in the way and dam up the destructive avalanche of a thought world overwhelming mankind. So strong is the power of a concentrated thought wave projected into the ether. We have seen that recently here and in Johannesburg. And when each of us was quiet in a state of passivity, a thought was created, generated into the ether with tremendous force, carrying with it the ectoplasm which you give off, making it such a mighty thing that it was physically felt by people in different parts of the world. At a time, not very long ago, one spark would have set off the powder keg of the world. And by this tremendous force, this power that we have as students of this great, wonderful truth, we have helped mankind. And perhaps we will see the day when we will perhaps disperse all this stupidity, where we see two armed camps facing each other, who are ready to spring upon each other at the slightest provocation. Man's greatest protection is his own thought. It is his greatest friend and his greatest enemy, according to his own choice. So is man's speech a blessing or a curse to him. Thought and speech are united in their action and create attraction and repulsion. The wise are wise unto themselves to attract good and repulse all that is undesirable. In our next lesson, I will deal with the power of the word and the tone of the voice. When you have gained the art of discerning your thoughts, you can select the thought you want to express. Care and attention to what I have said is most essential if you would become a world builder, not only for your own good, but for the good of all humanity. Everything can be accomplished in the way I have shown you. Mere words, loosely spoken, are trash. Wisdom, choosing your thoughts and words, is the key to a successful life, which will be dealt with in our next lesson. These few words are most enlightening, and it is necessary for students to take heed of them to protect themselves. Man's greatest protection is his own thought. It is his greatest friend and his greatest enemy, according to his own choice. So is man's speech a blessing or a curse to him. Thought and speech are united in the action and create attraction and repulsion. The wise are wise unto themselves, to attract good and repulse all that is undesirable. So think deeply over those words, because unless you discern their true meaning, you'll be caught up in your thoughts, in your speech, in your actions. The power of the Master is always one of awareness. Where he feels and finds himself unattached to everything, even the occult powers which he uses. Just as you can go into the sea and have a bathe and come out of it, you are unattached to it. So is the Master unattached to all the relative world. He can enter into it and use it and change it. Yet he can extricate and distract his consciousness, or retract his consciousness completely from the relative, and there remain within the consciousness itself, free, with all its creative power, uninfluenced by anything external to the consciousness. Therefore, the consciousness becomes creative, without being influenced in any way by the relative world. This is truly the Master, through unattachment in every way to people, things, the relative world. Yet he can enter into that relative world and enjoy the effects of that relative world. He can walk in it and yet be not of it. I am not of this world. Here is then the consciousness of a Master, completely detached, yet using everything at his hand. He used mud to bring the sight to man's eyes. He used water to make the lame walk. He used loaves and fishes to feed the multitude. He walked upon the water because it suited him. He stilled the waves because it helped his disciples. If he was in the wave, he could not do it. If he was in the sea, he could not do it. If he was in the relative world, he could not do it. This non-attachment to the relative world is the secret of mastership. I am in the world, but not of it. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I give you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. Benediction. O thou of wisdom and love, thy nature thou hast given unto me, that I may walk in thy ways. Even though I was born in ignorance, thou hast shown me the way to thy glory. It was through thy Son Jesus I saw the light. Thank thee, O Blessed One, for sending him into the world to be the light unto man. Grant me the understanding to guide others unto the ways of truth and freedom, through wisdom and love, O mighty God. Let us enter into the sanctuary of the silent healing power, in this quiet peace. In this quiet peace and in the knowledge that there is perfection even through imperfection, that which seems imperfect will dissolve away because it has no existence of its own. No permanent existence exists in the error in the mind of man. Only the continual expression of the divine nature, that expression that is eternal and ever present. And the fundamental understanding of that is found in these words, I and the Father are one. My peace now